जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवरदारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवरदारी, यशोदनन्दना व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानन्दना व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन जारी, यमुना तीरावन जारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवरधारी, यशोदानन्दना व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानन्दना व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन जारी, यमुना तीरावन जारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, जय राधा गोविंद राधा गोविंद राधे, जय गौरनिताय 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 जय गौरनिताय जय जगन्नाथ जगन्नाथ बलदेवा जय सुभद्रा प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद
जयम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद एस डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण Today we'll be continuing our discussion in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll be starting the ninth chapter today, which is a very important chapter. The Chatushloki Bhagavatam appears in this chapter. So very wonderful chapter. Actually, this chapter is spoken by Shukadev Goswami in response to a series of questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj which we saw yesterday. In the 8th chapter, Parikshit Maharaj asked a series of questions, and in response to these questions, Shukadeva Goswami speaks this chapter. Some of the questions he answers directly, but most of the questions he answers by quoting a famous conversation that happened between the Supreme Lord and Brahmaji. So, in that context, we'll be seeing the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, which is considered to be the seed of the whole 18,000 verse Bhagavatam. So, this chapter is titled by Srila Prabhupada as Answers by Citing the Lord's Version, because Shukadeva Goswami will be answering Parikshit Maharaj's questions by citing the Lord's version, which is the Chatushloki. And Srila Vishwanathacharya Thakur titles this chapter as Manifestation of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam in its seed form is going to manifest from the Supreme Lord. So, we saw the various questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj yesterday. The first question that was asked by Parikshit Maharaj was Yad adhatu mato brahman deharambosya dhatu bihi yadrichaya hetunava bhavanto janate yata. So, he's asking, Parikshit Maharaj asked Shukadeva Goswami, my dear Lord, the living entity is pure spirit. It's not made of matter. Adhatu mato. It is not made of dhatus. But in this material world, we see that the living entity has established a relationship with this body, which is made of dhatus, which is made of matter. How did this relationship happen? Yadrichaya hetunava. Did it happen by chance? Or is there any specific reason behind such a relationship happening? So that's the question that Shukadeva Goswami will start answering in this chapter. So he says, Shri Shuka Uvacha Atma Mayamrite Rajan Parasyanubhava Atmanah Nagate Tartha Sambandha Swapna Drashtur Ivanjasa. So he says, Artha Sambandha. Sambandha means relationship. Artha Sambandha means a real relationship. A real relationship between the jiva and the body. Na gateta. He says, actually there is no real relationship that gets established between the jiva and the body. So he says that, my dear Parikshit Maharaj, you asked, how did this relationship happen? My response is, no relationship actually happens. There is no real relationship that is established between the body and the soul. Atma mayamrite. Even though the avidya shakti is acting on the jiva, but still a real relationship is not established between the jiva and the material body. Why? Because the jiva is parasya. The jiva is superior to matter, so therefore he cannot establish his relationship with matter. Relationship can happen between equals. It cannot happen between unequals. Like for example, at least constitutionally equal living entities. The Supreme Lord can establish relationship with the jivatmas, because constitutionally or qualitatively they are one. But the living entity is, neither the living entity nor the Supreme Lord is qualitatively one with matter. So he says that parasya, the living entity is of superior nature, so therefore it cannot establish a relationship with body which is made of matter. And also anubhavatmanah, the living entity also is knowledgeable of his constitutional position, so therefore he would not want to establish a relationship with the body. But then one may ask, but the relationship actually exists, you know, we are able to see it existing. All living entities in this material world are identifying with their body, so definitely some relationship has been established, you cannot deny that. Like yesterday Prabhuji was asking, how can you deny pratyaksha? You know, pratyaksha is there. So like that we are seeing, you know, there is, the pratyaksha is that the living entity has indeed established a relationship with the body. How can you deny it? Shukadeva Goswami says, Swapna drashturi vanjasa. It is like a person in a dream seeing various things in the dream. Okay. Once he wakes up from that dream, he realizes that it was all a dream, it was not real. So therefore he says that only an imaginary relationship takes place, but a real relationship is not established. As the third canto, ninth chapter, Brahmaji, while offering his prayers, he says, Kshutrit tridato birima muhurardhyamana shitoshna vata varshair itare taracha kamagnina achutarusha chasudurbarena sampashyato mana urukramasidate me. He says, my dear Lord, when I see living entities of this world suffering due to various anarthas of lust, anger, greed, or if their body is troubled by kapha, vata, pitta disorders, then my heart really pains. But one may ask, ordinary living entities may not know that this whole relationship with the body is just like a dream. But Brahmaji, who is the creator of the bodies, he must be knowing that the suffering or happiness experienced by the living entity in this material world is only like a dream, isn't it? No one actually takes a dream very seriously. I always give this example my father, I have observed, he is someone who gets a lot of dreams. While sleeping at night, he is an early sleeper, so we sleep little late. So generally, before we go off to sleep, he's already, you know, sometimes his dreams have started. And generally he gets same kind of dream. He dreams like some thief has broken into the house. Okay. So I remember first time we were just sitting, myself, my mother and sister. We were doing our things and suddenly we hear some sound. Oi, oi, like that. You know, someone was, we were wondering what is this. Of course my mother knew, but we both got little, you know. So we came and our father was little shouting. So we got little scared, what's wrong? So we woke him up. So he told, oh, sorry, I dreamt like a thief has broken into the house. So I said, okay. Then few weeks or few months down the line, again, the same shouting. So this time we knew, you know, what's happening. So we were just laughing. We didn't take it very seriously because we knew it was just a dream. And after waking up, he also, you know, laughed. He was not like taking it very seriously. So the point is, no one takes a dream very seriously. As long as they know it's a dream. Brahmaji certainly knows that it's a dream. But here he is praying to the Supreme Lord and mentioning that, my dear Lord, my heart really pains when I see people suffering. But then one may ask Brahmaji, if it's just like a dream, why take it so seriously? Anyway, when they wake up, they would know it was just a dream. And they'll be situated in their real position and they'll be happy. So why take a dream so seriously? Brahmaji should be knowing. So he clarifies in his next prayer. He says, Yavat pritakvam idam atmana indriyartha mayabalam bhagavato janaisha pashyet tavanna samsritirasau pratisankrameta vyartapi dukkha nivaham vahati kriyartha. So he says, my dear Lord, I lament because yavad, as long as people idam atmana pritaktvam pashyet, as long as they identify with the body, as long as the living entity is not identifying with the self, as long as it's identifying with the body, it is like in a dream state. Then one may say, okay, he will wake up from the dream anyway. But he says, Maya balam bhagavato janayisha pashyet. But I see, my dear Lord, that while the jivatma is sleeping, there is another personality standing right next to him. And he has an MD in anesthesia. That is Lord's Maya potency. You know, there is a specialty. After your MBBS, you can do MD in various subjects. One of the subjects is anesthesia. And their only job, you know, they cannot individually practice. They have to work in conjunction with other surgeons. So whenever they are performing a surgery, these people have to go and give them anesthesia. So one may wonder, what's the big deal the surgeon himself can give? But actually it's not that easy, because you have to know for this particular surgery, you know, how long the after effects would last. And accordingly, you have to give anesthesia. And if you give an overdose, the person might go into coma also. And if there is an underdose, then before that pain subsides, if the person wakes up, then it'll be another problem. So it's a people are trained to give proper anesthesia. And Brahmaji says, I see this Maya potency. Who is standing there with this anesthesia. She ensures that this person does not wake up. So only if he wakes up from the dream, then he will realize that it was just a dream and he will laugh about it. But she ensures that he does not wake up. And till one wakes up, actually, the experience in the dream is real. The suffering is real. Sometimes it's really so real. I remember once, it was summer vacation, must be about 25 years back. So we were playing cricket, and the whole day we played cricket, so we were so tired. So both my parents had gone to work, so I locked the door and went off to sleep. And it was evening time, and I had this dream. I dreamt like my mother had passed away. And it was such a shocking dream for me. And I was crying in the dream. I was literally crying. Tears were pouring from my eyes. And in the meantime, my mother was knocking the door. She had come back from office. But I got so engrossed in the dream that this dream was real for me. And I could not hear any knocking. Then she was knocking and knocking. I was not opening the door. Then she started banging the door. Still I was not hearing. Then hearing that banging, all the neighbors came. They started banging the door. And then someone went down and they started shouting, you know, from downstairs so that I could hear. And after some time I woke up. And still it was so real. And then I opened the door and my mother was standing. It was so shocking to me because because it was such a real dream that even after waking up, you know, the hangover was there for some time. I could not really get out of it. So sometimes the dream is so real. So till the person actually wakes up and gets out of the dream, the experience of suffering or happiness in the dream is as real as, you know, one would experience it really. So Brahmaji is telling, this Maya potency, she ensures that this person does not wake up. And seeing her, I feel very distressed. You know, if only this person would have woken up, then probably he would have felt good. But she doesn't ensure that he wakes up. So therefore, I am feeling very distressed, like that Brahmaji offers his prayers. He says, Vyartapi, Vyarta, this material situation is not something which is worthy to invest time thinking about, because it's unreal. But dukkha nivaham vahati, but still it gives, the situation itself is imaginary, but it gives real pain. Just as the person in the dream is imagining something, but his suffering is real. Only after he wakes up, he cannot undo that suffering. His suffering is not imaginary. What he is seeing in the dream is imaginary. But his suffering is real. Okay. So that's what Shukadeva Goswami is explaining here. That due to this avidya potency, the living entity establishes an imaginary relationship with the body. Real relationship is not established. That's what he is mentioning to Parikshit Maharaj. So, here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, this Maya overcoming the spirit soul was realized by Vyasadev. What is Prabhupada referring to here? First canto, Yaya sammohito jivo atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute anartam tat kritam chapi badyate. So, Vyasadev says that because of this covering of Maya, the living entity, paropi manute anartam, he considers this anartha body, which is like a dream, to be para, to be real. Tat kritam cha abhibadyate. And with that identification, whatever activity he does, he gets bound by that activity. But he also saw Mayam Chatad Apashrayam. Vyasadeva also saw that this Maya had taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So which means, certainly Maya Devi is not acting against the will of the Supreme Lord. Then one might wonder, why is Mayadevi not allowing this person to wake up? Every time he wants to wake up, she puts that anesthesia and makes him to sleep. So, it is explained that we also wonder, why give this subtle and gross covering? It's so painful. If only the Lord had not covered us with this subtle or gross covering, we must be enjoying in the spiritual world with the Supreme Lord. But a clue is given by Kapila Dev in the third canto, who explains that at the time of dissolution, Mahapralaya, at the end of Brahmaji's lifetime, forcefully the living entity's gross covering and subtle covering is removed. He actually experiences. And then the living entity goes inside the body of Mahavishnu. So inside the body of Mahavishnu, he is there situated without any gross and subtle covering. And he is put in a sleepy state. Okay, sleep now. But Kapila Dev mentions, but some living entities, vinidro, it is mentioned that some living entities overcome that sleep, or they are in a awake state, they realize their true identity. And that description is there. It is mentioned that nashte ahankarane atmanam nashtavat mrisham anyamanah. So nashte ahankarane, ahankar matlab false ego. False ego here literally means the products of false ego, which is the gross body and subtle body. Nashte, because it's the time for dissolution, the gross body and subtle body is gone. But suddenly, because all the while the living entity has been identifying with the gross and subtle body as the self, as soon as he sees that there is no gross and subtle body, he thinks, Atmanam Nashtavat. He thinks that, I am dead. So he's wondering, I am dead. But then suddenly he realizes, Evam Pratyavamarsya. On careful reconsideration, he realizes, actually I am not dead. This gross and subtle covering with which I had been identifying till now, that has been removed. And then he thinks, actually I am the spirit soul. This is self-realization. So this self-realization, which gives great bliss of Brahmananda to a yogi or a jnani, puts this living entity in great distress. He is thinking, unfortunately I am not this gross and subtle body. He thinks, unfortunately I am this living entity. And I am filled with so many desires to enjoy, and I have no facility to enjoy. So he's thinking, what do I do? So it is just like, you know, it's just like a ghostly existence. A ghost has no gross body, but he has subtle body. So he has very limited facility to enjoy. And he has all the desires to enjoy. So this living entity also is filled with all the material desires. And he has not even a subtle body which he can use to enjoy those desires. So he is under extreme distress. So the Lord puts him to sleep. Okay, sleep. When the time comes, I will wake you up and give you all your gross and subtle coverings. Then you can go out and enjoy. So it is mentioned that nashta vitta iva atura. The experience of that living entity who has been forcibly given self-realization is explained, is described by Shukadev Kapila Dev as nashta vitta iva atura. Just like a rich man who has very painstakingly accumulated all his wealth, suddenly he loses all that wealth. How he will feel? So the living entity feels distressed like that. So therefore, this is like, if the anesthesia doesn't last, if the post-operative pain lasts for 24 hours and the anesthesia the effect of anesthesia drains out after 12 hours. Then as soon as the living entity wakes up, he starts screaming. So that's exactly the experience of this living entity who has been given premature self-realization. He says, no, that's not actually very good. So Mayadevi puts, okay, another anesthesia and, you know, lets him sleep. So that's exactly happens at the, in the, okay, just hold on. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The material world is not real. The material body is also... he is mentioning that Prabhupada many times mentions that it is the Mayavadis who claim Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya. But as Vaishnavas, we understand that this Jagat is not Mithya. It is real but temporary. But it seems from what I have mentioned that I am also indicating that this Jagat is Mithya. I mean, that's not what... here Shukadeva Goswami is not mentioning that the body is Mithya. He says the relationship is Mithya. The soul identifying with the body, that is Mithya. Body is real. Identification is Mithya. That's what it is. Yes, go. Yeah, this question is answered by Narada Muni in the 7th canto when Yudhishthira Maharaj asked this question, is the Supreme Lord partial? So, in that, in one of the verse he says, Kama, Dveshat, Bayat, Snehat, what is that? He says, Tad Agam Hitva. He mentions that they attain, they attain liberation, tadagam hitva, because their object of absorption, even though the demons are absorbed in Krishna, in a very negative, with lot of negative emotions of hatred and fear, but because their object of absorption is Krishna, tadagam hitva, the sin of hating Krishna is removed by Krishna and then he gives them liberation. So, and also it is mentioned that when he gives liberation, this is described in the Raganuga Bhakti section, this is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where Rupa Goswami clarifies that when these demons are given liberation, they are generally given Sayujya Mukti only. Even those demons like Poundrak Vasudev and others who got actually Sarupya Mukti, like Poundrak Vasudev really wanted to look like Krishna. So Krishna fulfilled that desire. You don't have to stick some, you know, artificial hands. You can really have a form similar to me. In Vaikuntha. So he gives him a position in Vaikuntha. He has a form similar to Krishna or Lord Vishnu. But what he experiences there in Vaikuntha is Brahma Sukha. Okay. So, so like that there are many demons. The reference also is given by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That even though they go to Vaikuntha, sometimes it is mentioned like that. But then that could be probably because of their specific desires that they had to either be with Krishna or look like Krishna, even though in a negative way. Krishna fulfills that, but they experience only Brahma Sukha, even though they stay in Vaikuntha. So therefore, not everyone who stays in Vaikuntha experiences the bliss of Prema. There are multiple gradations of people. Some experience Brahma Sukha, some experience Shantarati, some experience Prema. So not everyone situated in Vaikuntha is situated in his constitutional position. That's removed by Krishna. Tad agam hitva. Krishna removes those negativity and the sin because of that negativity is removed by Krishna. Yeah, even that negativity is gone actually. They are, Brahman means emotionless. The emotions are removed like that.
Living entities after degeneration, they merge into the body of Lord Mahashnu and then their gross and subtle bodies are removed. So like, as we know that like, it's the gross and subtle body which covers the knowledge of soul. Otherwise soul eternally has knowledge, you know that soul is Satyajanata. So soul has knowledge, but because of being covered over by subtle gross body, it forgets its real identity with the world. So when you say, we say that it's in body of Mahavishnu and it's gross and subtle body, both are removed, then how it is moving to sleep and how it is not aware of its real identity?
So he is aware of his real identity because that's what we saw. He saw, oh, actually I am not this gross or subtle body, I am real.
That's for few souls who are not sleeping.
So for Krishna to make a living entity forget his real identity, he may choose to use the gross and subtle coverings, he may choose not to also. So it's not mandatory that Krishna has to, you know, put the souls into forgetfulness only through gross or subtle coverings. There could be other ways that he might choose to do. Okay. One last question. Dream, yeah. So whenever an analogy is used, one should understand the scope of that analogy. In what sense that analogy is used. So one cannot try to map all aspects of that analogy exactly. So yes, it is called as a dream. Swapna drashtur iva. It's like a dream, means not in all sense. Of course, in a dream the tiger is unreal, but in this dream the body is not unreal. Not in that sense it's called a dream. It's called a dream because there all the participants in the dream are also imagined, but here the relationship is imagined. So in that sense it's a dream. So whenever an analogy is used, you know, the scope of that analogy is defined. So, I think I have opened Pandora's box. Okay, one last question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but unfortunately, that he says that you are talking about, you mentioned about, Brahmaji mentions about a dream, but it was a horror dream. So therefore, when he wakes up, he feels good. But there could be a poor person who has had real bad experience, and in his dream, at least, he is dreaming of being a king. So when he wakes up, he will feel bad that, oh, unfortunately, it was just a dream. So why should Brahmaji feel bad about such people? So that's a valid question. But the point is, the soul is not a poor person. He is a very rich person. So compared to the actual wealth that he has, no position of this material world is, you know, rich enough. So whenever he goes to sleep, he will dream only of some horror dream only. So that's why Brahmaji says, considering the constitutional position of the living entity, it's always a horror dream only. Yeah, ultimately, compared to the bliss of the soul, it's all horror only. Yeah, like that. Okay, we'll continue. So then, we'll continue with this purport Prabhupada writes. Just half the purport, we got a little bit distracted. So therefore, even the disobedient jiva is under the control of the Lord through his maya potency. But if the soul is pure, but one may ask, if the soul is pure, how did it come under this maya potency? How can the pure soul come under the influence of maya? He says, the jiva is actually constitutionally a servant, but since he has minute independence, he wanted to rebel and become like Krishna. So the jiva is constitutionally servant, and constitutionally he has minute independence also. Okay, so but the jiva, because of lack of qualification, cannot become God. He does not have the qualification to become God. But one might say, why not the Supreme Lord should create the qualification? One may say like that. But the fact is that the jiva is eternal. The jiva is not created by the Supreme Lord. The jiva eternally coexists with the Supreme Lord. Krishna says, natve vaham jatunasham natvam neme janadipa nachaivana bhavishyamah sarve vayam ataparam. There was never a time when I did not exist. There was never a time when you did not exist also. So which means eternally, the jiva is eternally existing, and his constitutional position is also eternal, which is to be a servant. So that constitutional position of the jiva also cannot be changed by the Supreme Lord, because that is also eternal. So that's why he cannot become God. It's not possible. And he cannot enjoy in that position also. So therefore the Lord gives him gross and subtle body, so that he doesn't remember his constitutional position. Because if he remembers, then there is so much guilt. How can you knowingly enjoy someone else's property? It's like putting sand in sweet rice, you know. I mean, if you eat, it tastes sweet also, but at the same time, you know, the sand particles will make your experience really bad. So Krishna says, fine, you know, I will remove the sand. Okay, you try to enjoy. So like that. So for that reason, the Lord gives a gross and subtle body, and it's in fact a great mercy that the Lord bestows upon the living entities. And one should not wrongly think that why the Lord is so sadistic, covering the living entity with gross and subtle covering. But it's not like that. If that covering is prematurely removed, the living entity will suffer all the more. So therefore, it's a great act of mercy on the Supreme Personality of Godhead to actually, you know, tailor-make separate coverings for each living entity according to his desires. Shall we? A little later. So then, he says, Bahurupai vabhati mayaya bahurupaya ramamano guneshvasya mamaham iti manyate. So after being bewildered by this maya, this maya devi offers various kinds of bodies. Bahurupa ivabhati. The jiva appears to be in many forms. Sometimes he appears as a human being, sometimes he appears as a demigod, sometimes as Brahmaji, sometimes as an animal. Mayaya, because maya facilitates that. Bahurupaya, because of the variety of disposition that the jiva has developed, various bodies are given to the jiva. Ramamano guneshvasya mamaham iti manyate. In every one of those bodies, the jiva enjoys the body which is made of gunas, identifying as me, identifying himself as the body, and those people and things related to body he identifies at as belonging to him. Mama aham iti manyate. The living entity starts wrongly identifying with things related to the body as belonging to him. But then how to get out of this stage? How to get out of this state? It is mentioned, Yarhi vava mahimne sve parasmin kala mayayoho rameta gata sammohas tyakto daste tado bayam. Yarhi, when that living entity sve mahimni rameta means when he becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the process of devotional service. If the living entity becomes attached to the Supreme Lord through the process of devotional service, and who is the Supreme Lord? Parasmin kalamaya yoho. The Supreme Lord is transcendental to time and maya. Okay? And these two elements are what they are only actually creating a lot of trouble for this living entity here. Time, which snatches away everything that he wants to enjoy, and maya, who is making him identify with all these temporary things, in this material world. But the Supreme Lord is parasmin kala maya yoho. And when this conditioned living entity consciously chooses to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then tyaktva tada ubayam, at that point of time the living entity also gives up these two. These two refers to kala and maya. Just like the Lord is transcendental to kala and maya, when the living entity consciously chooses to establish a relationship with the Supreme Lord, he also becomes transcendental to kala and maya. Gata sammohaha, his illusion is lost. Udaste, and even though the illusion is lost, okay, but he is not screaming anymore. Udaste, he is detached, because you know he has the wound has healed completely. So even though the chloroform is removed, he is no longer screaming. He remains detached. So basically, if you remember those three verses that we saw in the first canto, Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihite Amale Apashyat Purusham Purnam. So those three verses gives the, they are also in one sense called the seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. The vision of Vyasadev, how he sees the Supreme Lord and Maya having taken shelter of Supreme Lord. But that Maya, who is the Lord's assistant, she puts the living entities under illusion. Yaya sammohito jivo atmanam trigunatmakam. And then how the living entity can escape that Maya? Anartho vashamam sakshat Bhakti Yogam Adokshaje Lokasya Janato Vidvams Chakre Satvata Samhitam. So the way to get out of this anartha is Bhakti Yogam Adokshaje, is to perform devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. Lokasya Ajanatah, because people do not know this, Vidvan Chakre Satvata Samhitam. Expert Vyasadeva compiled this Bhagavat Puran. Okay? So they are called the seed verses because this concept or this is the essential teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. As we saw in one of the earlier discussions, that the prime audience of Srimad Bhagavatam is whom? Maharaj Parikshit, okay. I mean, as a class, I am asking. Whom is, the Bhagavatam is meant for whom? One may say, Nirmatsaranam Satam, Paramahamsas. But, it's meant for them to relish. They can relish it properly. But actually, Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled for conditioned souls. As we saw in the case of Vyasadev, Lokasya Ajanato, people who are stuck with this anartha do not know that they have to perform bhakti to get out of it. Vidvan Chakre Satvata Samhitam. Therefore, Vyasadev compiled this Bhagavatam. And then Shukadeva Goswami also spoke Bhagavatam for whom? Yaswanubhavam Akila Shruti Saramekam Adhyatma Divam Atitirshatam Tamondam Samsarinam Karunayaha Purana Guhyam. For the samsaris, for the people who are suffering in this ocean of samsara, as an act of compassion, Shukadeva Goswami spoke this Bhagavatam. So the prime audience or the chief benefactors are conditioned souls only. Okay? But it is mentioned that Nirmatsaranam Satam, it is meant for the Paramahamsas because they can properly relish the taste of Bhagavatam. We saw the example of sugarcane juice. Pittopatapta Rasanasya Narochikanu. For a person who has a jaundiced tongue, he cannot taste the real taste of sugarcane juice, but he can become healthy only by tasting that sugarcane juice. He has to drink that sugarcane juice. And how one can judge whether he is getting cured or not? That sugarcane juice has to start tasting sweet for him. So completely healthy person means he can perfectly taste that actual taste of sugarcane juice. But for him it's a luxury. It's no longer a medicine. No one wants a medicine. People want something to really relish. He can relish. He will ask for another glass and another glass and another glass of sugarcane juice. Whereas the conditioned soul, he may not want that sugarcane juice, but he needs it the most because he has to become healthy. So therefore, one of the acharyas mentioned that these three verses, the vision of Vyasadev, these three verses are the seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam because this principle will keep on repeating throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. And one of the places where it's repeating is the first three verses of this ninth chapter, which is mentioned as manifestation of Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam manifests with these first three verses, which is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the essence? The living entities in this material world are covered by the Maya potency and they suffer in this material world. The way the living entity can overcome this suffering is if he establishes a relationship with the Supreme Lord through the process of devotional service. That is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, therefore this seed, you know, keeps on repeating again and again. Therefore, you know, this is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. More or less, most of the stories of Srimad Bhagavatam are there to establish this principle. Like that. Okay, so as now the Supreme Lord is going to meet Brahmaji, what are the events that took place for the Supreme Lord to come and meet someone and have a conversation with someone? That one person must have performed something really extraordinary. Otherwise, it's not common that the Supreme Lord always appears and speaks with someone. So what is it that happened that inspired the Supreme Lord to appear in front of Lord Brahma and have a conversation with him? So Shukadeva Goswami is going to set that platform for this Chatushloki to appear. So that is described here in the next series of verses, where Shukadeva Goswami is going to set the platform for the appearance of the Supreme Lord. So he says, Atma Tattva Vishuddhyartam Yadaha Bhagavan Ritam Brahmane Darshayan Rupam Avyalika Vrata Adritaha. Avyalika Vrata Adritaha. Avyalika Vrata means sincere austerity. Adritaha means being worshipped, or if one shows respect, Adar. So he says that once Brahmaji worshipped the Supreme Lord with very sincere devotion, and in reciprocation the Lord showed his Ritam Rupam. Darshayan Ritam Rupam. What is the meaning of Ritam? That is Rite. What is Ritam? Sarvam etad Ritam manye yanmam vadasi Keshava. Arjuna tells Krishna. Ritam means true. So Ritam Rupam means true form. Okay. This is, the Acharyas explained that here indirectly Shukadeva Goswami is answering one of the early questions of Parikshit Maharaj. One of the early questions of Parikshit Maharaj was, the Lord also seems to have a body similar to all human beings. So what is the difference? So here he says, Darshayan Ritam Rupam. He showed his true form. The living entities, the bodies they have, is Anritam Rupam. It's not his true form. It's made of matter. His true form is not made of matter. Whereas when the Supreme Lord, he shows his form, he is indicating here Ritam Rupam. He showed his true spiritual form to Brahmaji. Bhagavan Brahmane Aha. He spoke to Brahmaji. Atma Tattva Vishuddhyartam. He spoke these four verses of Chatushloki with a desire to give true knowledge about himself. So that's what he is indicating here. That he spoke this Chatushloki Bhagavatam to give true knowledge about himself. So Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, Atma Tattva means science of both Jiva and the Lord. That is, I think in Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada says, he says true knowledge means knowledge of the soul, knowledge of the matter and controller of both. Something like that. So, same thing Prabhupada is mentioning here, that Atma Tattva means not just knowledge of the soul, but knowledge of the Supreme Lord also. In the conditioned state, we have misconceptions about ourselves and we have misconceptions about the Supreme Lord also. But by the process of devotional service, these misconceptions are destroyed. Same theme. Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihite Amale. Thus, when Brahmaji performed Avyalika Bhakti, Avyalika Bhakti means sincere, non-duplicitous devotional service, the Lord showed his eternal form and spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahmaji to remove all his misconceptions. This form of the Lord is purely Satchit Ananda, Ritam Rupam. It is not the form of the living entity in this material world, which is Asat, Achit and Nirananda. That is not Ritam Rupam. This is the distinction between the body of the Jiva and the body of the Lord, which was the original question asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Shukadeva Goswami. What is the difference? Constitutionally, what is the difference between the body of the Supreme Lord and the body of the living entity? Therefore, in summary, the jiva who is encaged in a material body is in ignorance. But the Lord has a Sachidananda body. Just hold on. And one can understand this through Bhakti Yoga, just like Brahmaji understood the Supreme Lord through Bhakti Yoga. So then Prabhupada writes, studying or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is a powerful way of performing this Bhakti Yoga. How to perform Bhakti Yoga? Prabhupada says, studying this Bhagavatam itself is Bhakti Yoga. And he says it's a powerful way of performing this Bhakti Yoga. One can attain the highest perfection through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. Like that. Okay, so let's continue. Sa adi devo jagatam paro guruhu swadishnyam astaya sasrikshaya ikshata tam nadya gacchat drishamatra sammatam prapancha nirmana vidiryaya bhavet. Sa adi devaha, that original personality Brahmaji, jagatam paro guruhu, who is the greatest spiritual master in this material world, jagatam paro guruhu. He is a sampradaya acharya. Swadishnyam astaya. Swadishnyam means his own seat. He was sitting on his seat. What is that seat of Brahmaji? The lotus. So basically he is telling this story. Once upon a time, Brahmaji was sitting on his seat, which is the lotus. Sisrakshaya aikshata. What is the meaning of aikshata? To see. But here, it means he was considering. Like if I say, I explain something and then I ask you, do you see the point? And it's not like, okay, where is the point? Which point you are talking about? When I say, do you see the point? It means, do you understand? Or have you considered what I have spoken? It's a figurative way of telling, have you understood what I have spoken? So it doesn't literally means, do you see the point? So here, Sisrakshaya Aikshata means he was considering, how do I create? I understand that my job is to create, but I don't really understand how I am going to do it, how I am going to accomplish it. So Sisrakshaya Aikshata means he was considering how I am going to carry out this creation. Na adhyagachat sammatam drisham. But he could not get a proper knowledge of how he was going to create this material universe. Yaya prapancha nirmana vidir bhavet, by which this universe could manifest. He could not get a possible understanding of how he was going to accomplish this. So then,
Sachintayan dvyaksharamekadambasi upashranodvirgaditam vacho vibuhu sparsheshu yachodashamekavimsham nishkinchananam drupayaddanam viduhu.
So when he was thinking like this, ekada, he was wondering how I am going to create. Of course, this is described in little more detail in the third canto, where Brahmaji goes up and down the stem of the lotus, but still he is not able to find anyone. And then he is sitting and wondering, ekada, at some instant, upashranod, he heard something. Dvirgaditam, he heard something which was spoken twice. Ambasi, in that water. Which water is this? It's not Garbhodaka Ocean. On the navel of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, there is a lake, naval lake. On that lake sprouts this lotus. So this water is that water, not the Garbhodaka Ocean. Okay. So he heard from those water something which was spoken twice. Dvi aksharam, and it was a two-syllabled word which was spoken twice. Sparsheshu yat shodasham ekavimsham. What were those two syllables? Shukadeva Goswami says that they were the 16th and the 21st syllables of the Devanagari, you know, consonants. 16th consonant and the 21st consonant. Sparsha means consonant. 16th is tha and 21st is pa. So this is poetic way of telling. He heard tapa, tapa twice. So here he is telling that he heard these two words, one word spoken twice, and that word had two syllables, and tha and pa were the two syllables. So he heard tapa, tapa. And he says, what is this tapa? Nishkinchananam dhanam. This tapasya is the wealth of the devotees who have no material desires. So of course this tapasya means devotional tapasya. Even Srila Rupa Goswami mentions in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu that bhogadityaga krishnasya hetave. This is not shushka vairagya. Bhogadityaga krishnasya hetave means one gives up sense gratification for the pleasure of Krishna. And later when he discusses about this subject matter of vairagya, he says the proof that that is proper vairagya is that should not make that person's heart hard. A devotional vairagya would make the person's heart very, very soft. He would become more compassionate, non-judgmental, and very caring towards other devotees. But if someone is performing too much austerities, if he becomes more and more irritable, angry, judgmental, then one should understand that that kind of tapasya is not something which is recommended for one's devotional development. So that's what Rupa Goswami mentions, that vairagya is needed, but that vairagya must be a product of bhakti. Because vairagya in itself cannot produce bhakti. Only bhakti can produce bhakti. And to the litmus test for testing whether that vairagya is good or wrong, good or not, is phalena parichiyate. What does that vairagya give rise to? If it gives rise to a hard heart, which is characterized by irritability, anger, and judgmental nature, then it is not the right vairagya, like that. So he says that, but this nishkinchananam dhanam, that is a devotional vairagya that is mentioned. Bhogadityaga krishnasya hetave. And then in another limb he says, yavad artha anuvartita. Accepting only that much that is needed for performing one's devotional service and not more than that. So this is the kind of vairagya that Rupa Goswami talks about in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. But otherwise any other whimsical vairagya will lead to hardness of heart. Because Rupa Goswami says that is the nature of jnana and vairagya, is to make the heart hard, like that. So here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport of this verse that one can achieve self-realization only by tapasya and not by a polished civilization of animal life. Polished civilization of animal life, Prabhupada says. Taking the path of tapasya is the second birth of an aspiring disciple. Can you guess where in this verse is second birth indicated? Instruction, yeah. Upashrunod. Prabhupada says the second birth is indicated by the word upashrunod. He says upashrunod is the same as upanayana. Is the same as upanayana. Prabhupada says that upanayana or upashrunod means bringing the disciple near the spiritual master for tapasya, Prabhupada says. So initiation means the spiritual master brings the disciple near him for tapasya. Upashrunod or upanayana. like that. Brahmaji was, the fact that Brahmaji was initiated by Krishna is confirmed in Brahma Samhita. Prabhupada says, or even in Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye. One who is thus initiated in Parampara is able to achieve the same result as what Brahmaji received. Chanting of that mantra and performing tapasya is the only shelter and wealth of a pure devotee, and this can bring all perfection. Prabhupada says that chanting of the mantra that is given, the mantra that is given and the tapasya that is taught to the disciple, these two are the only wealth of a disciple. Nishkinchananam dhanam, as Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning to Parikshit Maharaj here. Nishamya tadvakta didrikshayadisho vilokya tatranya dapashyamanaha swadishnyamastaya vimrshyatadhitam tapasyupadishta ivadade manaha. Nishamya, as soon as Brahmaji heard these two syllabled words repeated twice, disho vilakya, he started looking in all four directions to see who spoke these words. In third canto is described that when he tried, when with so much anxiety and eagerness, when he was looking in all the four directions, Brahma got four heads in, you know, looking at the four directions, because he was so eager to know, because all the while he was the only person there, so he wanted some companion. So as soon as he heard tapa tapa, then he really wanted to know who is that person. Tad vaktra didrikshaya, he was looking in all directions to see who was speaking. Tatra anyada pashyamanah, but he could not see anyone. So after some time, after he searched, he could not find out. Swadishnyam astaya, again he sat down on his seat. Vimrishya tad hitam, so he was wondering, what should I do? I heard these two words, but should I do it or not? He thought about it and then he thought, okay, this must be beneficial for me, so let me try to do it. Vimrishya tad hitam tapasyadade manah, then he concentrated his mind on meditation. So the tapasya mentioned here is meditation. Upadishta eva, as if someone personally instructed him. I mean, in today's day and age, even if personal instruction comes, we think twice before executing. But here, or sometimes we may not execute also. There is this verse in the ninth canto. Anyone remembers that the top class servant is one who understands uttama chintayat kuryat proktakari cha madhyama, and then adamaschu ashraddaya kuryat, adamas tu ashraddaya kuryat uccharitam akari. So he says the topmost servant is one who understands what is there in the mind of the spiritual master, and he does. Uttamas chintita kuryat, whatever he is thinking, he does. That is topmost. Proktakari cha madhyama. Proktakari means after speaking, after being instructed, if he does, that is okay servant. And adamastu ashraddaya kuryat, after getting the instruction, if he thinks, are mujhe hi kyun bola, maybe he has something against me, har bar mujhe hi bolte hain, unko nahi bolte hain, matlab, you know, ashraddaya kuryat, karta hai par not with so much faith in the instructor and the instruction. Ashraddaya, he says adama, he is and then he says uccharitum akartaha viduhu, something like that is the last line. He says that but a person, even after being instructed, if he does not do, he is as good as stool and urine. This is puru, speaking to Yayati Maharaj, after Yayati Maharaj requests Puru for his youth, "Can you please exchange your youth with me?" So Puru says, "I am really sorry, I am having to make you ask for it. I should have given it to you even before you are asking. Therefore, even though I am willing to share my youth with you, I don't consider myself as a top class servant." Like that Puru was feeling. So here Brahmaji was such a top class servant. Even though he was not personally instructed, no one said, "My dear Brahmaji, the way for accomplishing your goal is you must perform tapasya." Okay, that is an instruction. Abhiyam, you know, while you are walking, so many people say so many things. But we do not consider it as a personal instruction. So Brahmaji just heard from nowhere, tapa, tapa, that's all. Okay, so it could have as well been a prank that someone was trying to play on Brahmaji. Sometimes we do, we don't do, or at least, you know, in college or somewhere, you know, people play pranks on others, you know, various kinds of pranks. Are aaj, you may say that, aaj 7 baje hi class hai. So, utke, normally he might be a person who wakes up at 10 o'clock or so, but that day he wakes up 6:30, then runs to the class only to find out that actually there is no class. It was just a prank that was played on that person. We do that. So, he says that it might as well been a prank that was played on Brahma, but he carried out that instruction. Upadishtava, as if being personally instructed by someone, he carried out that instruction of we do not know who. Till now, Shukadeva Goswami has not mentioned who that person is who spoke these words, and Brahmaji also could not find out. Divyam sahasraddha mamoga darshano jitanilatma vijito bayendriyah atapyatasma kilalo patapanam tapastapiyam stapatam samahitah. Tapiyam stapatam. So here Brahmaji is addressed as the best amongst the meditators. He says, amogha darshana. What is the meaning of mogha? Mogha means fallible, that which fails. Mogasha, mogha karmano, mogha jnana. Amogha means infallible. So Shukadeva Goswami is addressing Brahmaji as amogha darshana, means one whose vision is infallible. Because here Brahmaji is going to perform tapasya. He has decided to perform a tapasya. But we discussed that it might as well been a prank that someone was probably trying to play on Brahma. Because he didn't see a person. He just heard these words. Who gave this instruction? Was it an instruction? It didn't even come in the form of an instruction. It was just, he heard these two syllables. Tapa, tapa. That's all. And he started performing tapasya. Vimrshya tad hitam. He thought for a while and thought, he came to the conclusion that maybe this must be good for me. It was Paramatma giving that indication. So that's also very great, because throughout the day Paramatma keeps giving us lot of indications, but how much do we follow? Very rarely do we follow the instructions. We take the guidance from the Paramatma. But Paramatma is constantly giving some indication or other. Here Brahmaji got that indication, but still he chose to follow it. For how long? Divyam sahasrabdam, for 1,000 celestial years. How much is one celestial year? Prabhupada gives it in the purport. We need not calculate. So Prabhupada says that one celestial year is 6 into 30 into 12 into 1,000 of our years. Okay? So, which means it's a long time for us. But for Brahmaji, it's not a very long time in one sense if you see. He has a lifespan of 311 trillion years. So, for a person with such a long lifespan, 1000 celestial years is, according to human calculation, is actually not much in one sense if you see. But still it is mentioned here that he is tapiyam stapatam. He is the best amongst the meditators. If you actually see, probably Hiranyakashipu performed a much more severe kind of tapasya. And in the history of mankind, if you see, probably there were other people who performed much more severe austerities. But here, Brahmaji is addressed as the best amongst the meditators. Even though it was not, he didn't create any world record or anything. So, but still he is considered to be greatest amongst the meditators, because as soon as Brahmaji started performing these austerities, immediately the Supreme Lord could understand that he was serious. He was serious about continuing this austerity for as long as it needed. That is the first reason. Later also it is mentioned that he did it in order to accomplish his duty, not to accomplish his sense gratification. While Hiranyakashipu and other demons like Ravana, they performed austerities, in fact much more severe austerities, in order to achieve sense gratification. But Brahmaji here is performing such a severe austerity for the purpose of doing his duty or the service that has been awarded to him, which is like really rare. So therefore we will see that the Supreme Lord was so pleased with him, even though actually considering the lifespan of Brahmaji, it was not a very long time that Brahmaji performed this austerity for. But still the Lord expresses his gratitude again and again and again. We will see in the next series of verses. Okay. That's because no one was there to cheer Brahmaji also. No one was there who would even confirm whether what he heard was right or wrong. When we get an instruction, we cross verify from 3-4 people. Karun kya hai, acha? I mean, will it be good for me? Acha hai, is it a good service? You know, we take second opinion, third opinion, fourth opinion from so many people. But here there was no one to even confirm whether it was an instruction or not. But still Brahmaji took it up with such sincerity. So the Lord was very, very pleased with Brahmaji. So Srila Prabhupada writes, Brahmaji's acceptance of the sound was due to his pure vision, amogha darshano. Therefore here Sukadeva Goswami is addressing Brahmaji as amogha darshana, because one should not think prematurely, are Brahmaji galti kar diye. 1000 celestial years he has wasted his time. What if it was just a prank that someone was playing on him? He would have wasted his time. Therefore Sukadeva Goswami says, no, don't think like that. He is amogha darshana. He has infallible vision. So therefore his decision to perform this tapasya is right. That's what Sukadeva Goswami is indicating here. Yes, Prabhu. Mike. See, whatever was needed for him to perform that tapasya, that knowledge was given. The Lord as Paramatma was already acting on him, that he was indicating that hitam, it must be for your good. That's my opinion. So Brahmaji got that indication and he accepted it. Similarly, the fact that he knew that he had to perform the job of creating this universe. Even that knowledge he had, who would have given him? The Lord gave him. So because in the previous verse it's mentioned that Sisrikshaya Aikshata, he was considering how to create. So which means, he knew that his job was to create this material universe. That much knowledge was given to him. And also an indication was given that, you know, it would be good if you follow this instruction and perform tapasya. So whatever was needed, that much knowledge was given to Brahmaji. And then he was allowed to exercise his free will also. Like that. So, he says, that is, there is no difference between the Lord and his words. The best way of understanding is by accepting such instructions. The potency of transcendental sound is never minimized because the vibrator is absent. Very interesting sentence that Prabhupada writes. The potency of the transcendental sound is never minimized because the vibrator is absent, because the person who is speaking is absent. Because Prabhupada many times writes in his purports that one should not say that Arjuna had Krishna right in front of him to ask many questions, but we do not have Krishna now. How can we follow? So Prabhupada says, no, that Bhagavad Gita which he has spoken is non-different from the personality of the Supreme Lord. Because Bhagavad Gita is available, it is as good as the Supreme Lord. So one should not argue that, no, I cannot follow because Krishna is not personally present here. That's what he is indicating. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita should never be considered as mundane. But he says, but having said that, only the transcendental sound itself is not sufficient. It has to come from a bona fide spiritual master. Actually, that is also not sufficient. Transcendental sound vibration is needed. It must come from a bona fide spiritual master. The third most important criteria, he says, is the disciple must be willing to execute his instructions. So, not just here. So, just being inquisitive is not sufficient. One must be willing to pranipata, pariprashna and seva. Humbly approaching the spiritual master, rendering service and then getting the instructions. Prabhupada says, that is the secret of success. The transcendental sound vibration must be there. It must be received from the guru. But the disciple on his part must be willing to render service. Service or must fulfill the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like that.
Tasmai svalokam bhagavan sabhajitah sandarshayamasa param nayat param vyapeta sanklesha vimoha sadvasam svadrishta vadbir vibudair abhishtutam.
Bhagavan sabhajitah, the Lord was very pleased with the worship of Brahma. Worship here means the austerities performed by Brahma. And in response, tasmai svalokam sandarshayamasa. In reciprocation, he showed his own abode to Brahmaji. Param na yat param. What is the nature of that Vaikuntha? There is no abode which is superior to this abode of Vaikuntha. Vyapeta sanklesha vimoha sadvasam. And this abode was free of suffering, confusion and fear of offenses. Swadrishta vadbir vibudair abhishtutam. And this abode is constantly praised by the devatas, by the self-realized devatas. Swadrishta vadbir vibudair abhishtutam. Yes, Prabhu. Purushair, yeah, sometimes some words are, this is Vishnu Chakradhara course translation. Of course, in Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, it is mentioned Purushair Abhishtutam. Vibhudair Purushair, same thing. Both indicate the Devas. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Suraya. So they constantly praise not only this abode, but the person who presides over this abode of Vaikuntha. So, here Srila Prabhupada writes, Brahmaji's tapasya was in the line of devotional service. One should not say that, you know, matlab aap tapasya se Bhagavan ko prapt kar sakte hain kya? So, but the Shastras say no, not by tapasya. But one should not say, but here Brahmaji performed tapasya and he pleased the Supreme Lord. So he is clarifying, Prabhupada is clarifying. Brahmaji's tapasya was in the line of devotional service. Otherwise, it was not possible for Brahmaji to get the darshan of Vaikuntha. Only because of a devotional tapasya could he take darshan of Vaikuntha. Tapasya in devotional service is susukam. It's very pleasing. It's pleasing to oneself and it's pleasing to others. But in the other paths, tapasya gives rise to klesha. Klesho adhikatarastesham avyaktasakta chetasam. It is like beating the husk without grains. Can we just complete this purport? So, Vaikuntha is not a myth, Prabhupada writes. But it can be seen and approached only through bhakti. If Vaikuntha is not a myth, show me Vaikuntha, one may say. But that's not, there is a way of realizing and approaching Vaikuntha. Prabhupada says that is by devotional service. This is also described systematically in the Shruti and Smriti Shastras, like that. Okay, yes, bro. So, they were choked up because, not because of really suffocating, but it is mentioned that such a thing had never happened before. So they were like really confused, what's happening? It was the fear of uncertainty. So when they approached the Supreme Lord, he said, don't worry, it's just my devotee who is performing tapasya. I will take care of it, you go back to your own abodes. So then they happily went back. Dhruva Maharaj, when he performed tapasya, it was not just many times, it's the fear is due to lack of knowledge. It's not necessarily only due to the physical, for example, Radha Gopinath Prabhu gives this story, very instructive story. Once when he was in college, you know, as a group they went for a picnic. So in that picnic, they went to take bath in a kind of a pond or a lake, something like that, in a village setup. So while they were progressing towards that lake, one of the villagers told, there are many leeches. Leech, you know, right? So there are many leeches in the lake, so be careful. And they will stick to your body and you can never take them out. They will suck your blood. Okay? But don't panic. Carry some salt with you. Just sprinkle the salt on them and they will fall down. You know, that's the only way of removing a leech. So, because people were so absorbed in, you know, it was summer time, so they wanted to just get into the water. No one was listening to what that villager was telling. Only Radha Gopinath Prabhu listened. So, he took a pouch of salt and no wonder, as soon as they got in some time, people started screaming because they saw that leech was sticking to them. And whatever they were doing, it was not coming out. And literally it was becoming fat right in front of their eyes because it was sucking their blood. And some people started fainting also because, you know, they are completely helpless. Radha Gopinath Prabhu was the only person who was not panicking. He just took some salt, sprinkled it, the leech came off, then he distributed the salt to everyone, and then the leeches came off. So the point is, that person did not faint because he became anemic, because the blood was taken by the leech. But the reason why he fainted was he panicked because of the anxiety. He didn't know what to do. So the kind of anxiety that the devatas were in was that kind of an anxiety. It's not that they had no capacity to hold their breath. Because they had not experienced anything of that sort, they became little panicky. So when they went to the Supreme Lord, they said, don't worry, it will be sorted out. It's not some demon performing tapasya, it's my devotee only. So I'll take care of it. So then he went and took care of that issue. Okay, we'll just complete this purport and then we will take a break. Actually the purport is over. So we'll take a break and we'll convene back at 10:45. Yeah, half an hour break we'll take. Srila Prabhupada ki. Can you switch on the... Hare Krishna. Focus, out of focus. Okay, so we'll continue. So we saw that in response to Brahmaji's very sincere tapasya, the Lord came and showed his own abode to Brahmaji. So what is Brahmaji seeing in this abode of Vaikuntha is what we are going to see now. Pravartate yatra rajastamastayoho sattvam cha mishram na chakala vikrama na yatra maya kimuta pare harer anuvrita yatra surasurarchitaha. Pravartate yatra rajastamastayoho. There is no influence of rajas or tamas, nor is there an influence of sattva. Sattvam cha mishram. Nor is there that material sattva which is generally mixed with rajas and tamas. There is no need of rajas. Means, what is the meaning of no need of rajas? There is no influence of rajas means, there is no creation. Spiritual world is not created. No tamas means, it is not destroyed. And no sattva means, no need for maintenance. No maintenance department needed. But still, Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambrama Sevyamanam. Thousands of goddesses of fortune are there with brooms and cloth in their hand trying to clean that Vaikuntha where, you know, it never gets dusty or there is no need for any maintenance there. And nacha kala vikrama, there is no influence of time. There is no influence of time in the sense, time does not have that destructive effect. But it's not that there is no time at all. Time takes on a different portfolio there. Its only role is to assist Krishna's pastimes. So it, in the spiritual world also, Krishna performs pastimes of waking up, then he gets dressed, then it becomes noon time when he takes lunch with his friends, then when it is evening, he comes back after taking the cows for grazing. So, you know, time, it's not that the flow of time stops in the spiritual world, but it flows in such a way that it aids. Time is also a conscious entity in the spiritual world. So it understands Krishna's desire and accordingly. Sometimes it is mentioned that when at night when Krishna is performing Rasa Leela, then you know, time expands unlimitedly. So it's like that, you know, time is a very conscious entity, and understanding the mood of Krishna, the need of Krishna, then accordingly it expands and contracts. So it assists the pastimes of Krishna. Well, so the influence of time is not there, in the sense, it's not that it's always 10-10 in the spiritual world. The clock always shows, like our clocks in the shops, they always show 10-10. So it's not like that. Time stops, in the sense, the influence of time, the destructive effect of time is not there. So then, kimuta apare, nayatra maya, there is no influence of maya. Kim uta apare, what then to speak of the products of maya? How can they have any effect? Products of maya are false ego, mind, intelligence and so on. Yatra harer anuvrata sura asura architaha. In Vaikuntha, the inhabitants are fully dedicated to the Lord. All the inhabitants are devotees. Sura asura architaha. And this abode is worshipable by the devatas, asuras and devotees. Dheera adheera janapriyav. So, it's not, one should not be surprised. How can the demons also glorify Vaikuntha? Because it's so glorious. Just like demons may not like devotees, you know, they are very humble, they have all good qualities. Demons may not have those good qualities, but certainly demons appreciate those good qualities, isn't it? They themselves may not be very surrendered, but even a demon expects a subordinate to be surrendered only, isn't it? So, good qualities are appreciated by demons, just that they do not manifest those good qualities. But when it is there in their subordinates, it's appreciated. So in that sense, that is one of the ways of understanding, that even the demons appreciate and glorify this Vaikuntha. Okay. And then what about the denizens of Vaikuntha? Shama vadataha shatapatra lojana pishanga vastraha suruchas supeshasah sarve chaturbahava unmishanmani praveka nishkabarana suvarchasah pravala vaidurya mrinala varchasa parispurat kundala mauli malinah. Shamavadataha, the male inhabitants of Vaikuntha have dark complexion just like the Supreme Lord. Shatapatra lochana, and their eyes are beautiful like the lotus petals. Pishanga vastraha, all of them are wearing yellow dhotis. Suruchaha, their demeanor is very pleasing. Supeshasaha, and they are always youthful. Sarve chaturbahava, all of them have four hands. Unmishan mani praveka nishkabarana, and they wear ornaments which are studded with very valuable stones. Suvarchasa, and the stones have multiple splendors. Some of them are red, some of them are white, some of them are yellow. Pravala vaidurya mrinala varchasaha. Parispurat kundala mauli malinaha. And they also wear very dazzling earrings, crowns and garlands. Brajishnu birya parito virajate lasadvimana valibir mahatmanam vidyotamana pramadottamadyubihi savidyudabrah valibir yatanabaha. Brajishnu birya parito virajate. So this effulgent Vaikuntha is filled with lasad vimana valibir, dazzling fleet of airplanes. And in those airplanes are, when they move in the sky, it looks like in the sky simultaneously dark cloud and dazzling lightning has appeared. Sa vidyud abrahvalibir yata nabaha. Nabaha is sky. Abrahvali is a series of clouds. It seems like in the sky simultaneously there is dazzling lightning, dark clouds appearing simultaneously in the sky. What is compared to the sky here? Whose complexion? The airplanes are compared to sky. What is compared to the clouds? The male residents. And what is compared to lightning? The female residents. They have a fair complexion. Savidyud abrah valivir yata nabaha. It seemed like in the sky. Yeah. Fair is the females are fair in complexion. So that's about the inhabitants of Vaikuntha. And what about the most important inhabitant, Mother Lakshmi? What is she doing? Shri Yatra Rupinyurugaya Padayo Karoti Manam Bahuda Vibhuti Bihi Prinkam Shritaya Kusuma Karanugair Vigiya Mana Priyakarma Gayati. So, Yatra in Vaikuntha, Shrir Rupini. Rupini means very beautiful resident, Mother Lakshmi. Karoti Manam. Karoti Manam means she worships. Urugaya Padayoho, the lotus feet of her master, the Supreme Lord. She is massaging the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Bahuda Vibhuti Bihi, along with many of her associates. And at other times, okay, when the Lord has gone to attend the assembly, at those times, what is Mother Lakshmi doing? Prenkam Shritaya Kusumakara Anugaihi Vigiyamana. Priyakarma Gayati. Prinkam means swing. Like you have a swing here for their lordships. Swing, right? What is that? Lotus on top of that? Oh, it's just a canopy. Okay. Sometimes you have swing also. Janmashtami time. Julanyatra time. Salila Vihar. Now it's Salila Vihar. Okay. Yeah. The actual Salila Vihar date was sometime last week when we also had in GV we had, or Radha Van Vihari had, they were like having Salila Vihar in Yamuna. So Prinkam Shrita, she is sitting on a swing and Priyakarma Gayati, she is singing the glorious pastimes of her Lord. So either she is directly serving or she is singing his glories. And she is having some accompaniments, background music. Kusumakara Anugaihi Vigiyamana. Kusuma means a flower. Kusumakara means a garden of flowers or a mine of flowers. Mine means here, it means garden. Kusumakara Anugaihi. Anugaihi means those who follow flower after flower after flower. So it refers to the bumblebees. Kusumakara Anugaihi Vigiyamana. The bumblebees are buzzing as background. They are giving the background music and Mother Lakshmi is constantly singing the glories of her master while swinging in a swing. Prenkam Shritaya Kusumakara Anugaihi Vigiyamana Priyakarma Gayati. Like that. Then, the camera moves to the assembly where the Supreme Lord is sitting there now in Vaikuntha. Dadarsha tatra kila sattvatam patim shriyav patim yagya patim jagat patim sunanda nanda prabalarhana debihi swaparshadagraihi parisevitam vibhum. Tatra, there in Vaikuntha, Dadarsha, Brahmaji saw Akila Sattvatam Patim, the Supreme Lord who is the Lord of all the devotees. Akila Sattvatam Patim. Shriyav Patim, the Lord of Mother Lakshmi. Yagya Patim, the Lord of sacrifice. Jagat Patim, the Lord of universe. And what was he doing? Sunanda Nanda Prabala Arhanadebir Swaparshada Agraihi Parisevitam. Parisevitam, he was being served by Swaparshada Agraihi, the foremost of his associates. Who are they? Sunanda Nanda Prabala Arhana. This is Vaikuntha. So this Nanda Sunanda are different. They are not Krishna's father and uncle. They are the Vaikuntha Nanda Sunanda. They are like the personal associates of Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha Loka. They are serving him. Vritya prasada bimukam drigasavam prasannahasarunalochanananam kiritinam kundalinam chaturbujam pitamshukam vakshasilakshitam shriya. So as soon as Brahmaji, this is the first time Brahmaji is taking darshan of the Supreme Lord. So he sees his face, and something is very striking when he sees his face. He realizes that this person is very favorably disposed towards his servants. Bhritya prasada abhimukham. He is very much inclined to bestow favors upon his servants. That he could understand. Isn't it? Many times, you know, you can look at the face of people and immediately understand to some extent what they are thinking, or at least their disposition. I mean, especially sitting here and speaking for 3 hours, you know, you see many different kinds of, you know, faces where you can understand, you know, someone is not so interested, someone is just itching to ask the next question. You know, you can, looking at his face, you can say that he is very soon going to raise his hands. You know, you can see, you know, it's reflecting on the face. You know, you can see the face and understand. So Brahmaji could look at the face of the Supreme Lord, and he could immediately understand that this is a person who is very favorably inclined towards his servants. So he felt that he felt very secure that I have found the right master. Here is a person who is very favorable. He is like we saw yesterday, the Lord is Swanam Paksha Poshana. Is very favorable to his own people. So Dhrgasavam, and he was so beautiful that Brahmaji thought that he was like a nectarian beverage for his eyes. Prasanna Hasa, and the Lord had a joyful smile. Aruna Lochanananam, and he had very reddish eyes which were beautiful like lotus petals. Kiritinam Kundalinam, he wore a kirita and kundala. And Chaturbhujam, he had 4 hands. Pitam Shukam, and he was wearing an yellow dhoti. Vakshasi Lakshitam Shriya, and his chest had the Shrivatsa mark. Adhyarhaniyasanamastitam param vritam chatushodashapancha shaktibihi yuktam bagair svairitaratra chadruvaihi swayeva daman ramamanam ishwaram. So it is mentioned that adi arhaniya asanam astitam param. He was sitting on a very, very valuable throne. Vritam chatushodasha pancha shakti bihi. And he was surrounded by the 4, 16 and 5 energies. What are these 4, 16 and 5? It is mentioned. The 4 refers to Dharma, Jnana, Aishwarya and Vairagya. Or it could also mean Prakriti, Purusha, Mahatattva and Ahankar. These are the 4 Shaktis. Chatuhu. Shodasha. The 16 indicates the 5 elements, the 5 Tanmatras, the 5 Jnanendriyas and the mind. So this is 16. And then Pancha Shaktibihi refers to the 5 sense objects. All these 25 serve the Lord in material creation. Okay. So all these 25 serve the Lord in material creation, but in the spiritual world they have their spiritual counterpart. So they are spiritual there in the material, in the spiritual world. Vritam chatushodasha pancha shaktibihi. Yuktam bagair swair. Bagaha means spiritual opulence. What are the 6 spiritual opulences of Supreme Lord? All knowing, all opulent, all beautiful, all wealth, all powerful and all completely renounced. So these 6 are permanent. They are called Yuktam Bagair Swair. Itaratra cha Adruvaihi. The Lord also has some potencies which he only manifests sometimes, temporary. So that is why it is called Adruvaihi. Adruvaihi means temporary powers. It refers to the Anima, Lagima, Prapti, this Ashtasiddhis. Refers to the Adruva. Swayeva Daman Ramamanam Ishwaram. And this Lord was enjoying in his abode, which is Vaikuntha. How did Brahmaji feel taking this darshan is described in this 18th verse. Tad darshan ahlada pariplutantaro hrishyattano prema varashrulochana nanama padam bujamasya vishvasrik yatparamahamsena patadi gamyate. Vishvasrik, the creator of this world, Brahmaji, tad darshana ahlada pariplutantaro, becoming very blissful on seeing that wonderful darshan of the Supreme Lord. Hrishyattanu, his hair stood on end. Prema bara ashrulochana, and tears started flowing from his eyes. Nanama asya padambujam, and he immediately offered obeisances to the Supreme Lord. That Supreme Lord, yet Paramahamsyena pata adigamyate, who is attained by the path of Paramahamsas. Okay? Which is bhakti. Tata paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidanartam katam pashyema histriyah. Kunti Maharani says. So Paramahamsa pata refers to bhakti. So here Srila Prabhupada writes, Srimad Bhagavatam is for the Paramahamsas, Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam, which means they must have no envy. But even the jnanis who want to merge in the Brahma Jyoti, even they are not free of malice. So therefore, only bhaktas are Paramahamsas. So basically this is mentioned in order to establish how Paramahamsa Pata refers only to bhakti and no other process. Following in the footsteps of Brahmaji, one can also get the darshan of the Lord. The Lord is Ajita, but by devotional service one can conquer that Ajita. Which verse is Prabhupada quoting here? Jnane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya vartam stane stita shrutigatam tanuvan manobir ye prayasho jitajitopyasitais trilokyam. So even though he is Ajita, if one is endowed with pure devotion, even that Ajita is conquered. Shri Krishna Akarshini. As Rupa Goswami says, Kritva Harim Prema Bajam Priyavarga Samanvitam Bhaktim Vashikaroti Iti Shri Krishna Akarshini Mata. Bhakti does not just conquer the Supreme Lord, Bhakti also conquers the other devotees. So that is why it is called Shri Krishna Akarshini. Shri in Shri Krishna Akarshini refers to the devotees. Priyavarga Samanvitam, along with his Priyavarga. Bhaktim Vashikaroti, Bhakti brings them under control. Shri Krishna Akarshini Mata. Therefore Bhakti is called Shri Krishna Akarshini. So that's what is mentioned here. Brahmaji is completely filled with joy. Tears are flowing from his eyes. All the Ashta Sattvika Vikar, they manifest in the body of Brahma. So then, Tam Priyamanam Samupastitam Kavim Praja Visarge Nijasasanarhanam Babashaishat Smitasho Chishagira Priyam Prita Manakare Sprishan. So this is the verse in which the Lord shakes hand with Brahmaji. Actually it is mentioned, Kare Sprishan. Kare Sprishan literally means he touched. I mean, there are multiple ways in which you can touch someone. So if you touch like this, you are trying to get his attention. Or if you touch like this in a Bhagavatam class, it could mean to wake that person up from sleep. If you touch someone like this, if you catch hold of someone's hands like this, what does it mean? Intimacy, or it could also mean reassurance. Don't worry, sab theek ho jayega, you know. Uska do haath aisa hai, aap, you know, if you catch hold of his hands like that, it's like reassurance, you know. So it was more in a reassuring way that Brahmaji, that the Supreme Lord touched Brahmaji's hands, because he was wondering, what am I going to do? I have to create and I don't know how to do it. And he is the original creator, the Supreme Lord. Unto his subordinate creator, he comes, catches hold of his hands, and in a reassuring way, he says, don't worry. Nija Shasana Arhanam. Seeing that demeanor of Brahmaji, the Lord immediately understood that here is a person who is qualified to carry out this creation process. Nija Shasana Arhanam. Arhanam means qualified. So the Lord understood that here is a person who is qualified to carry on the mission of creating this material universe. So he touched Kare Sprishan, he touched the, in a reassuring way, he holds Brahmaji's hands, and then he starts speaking to Brahmaji. Smita Shochisha Gira. Ishat Smita Shochisha Gira. He spoke words lit by a slight smile. So here Srila Prabhupada writes, conditioned jivas are given a chance to get liberated through Brahmaji. How does Brahmaji facilitate the liberation of living entities? Prabhupada in his purport gives two ways. Can you try to guess how Brahma facilitates? Yes. Okay. So he's telling, he facilitates in such a way that the jiva can fulfill his desire also, at the same time go ahead. Basically, one way is, he gives them a body by which they can perform some spiritual sadhana to achieve liberation. That is one way. The second way is, he gives the right sadhana also through parampara. He is a Parampara Sampradaya Acharya. So in these two ways, Brahmaji facilitates the liberation of living entities. The Lord instructs Brahma with transcendental knowledge in order to diffuse it to the conditioned souls. That is the purpose. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikave. He gives it to him because he can properly diffuse it to all conditioned souls. Since Brahma has this great responsibility, therefore he is very dear to the Lord. So anyone who takes that, the responsibility of someone, he becomes very naturally very dear to that person. Brahmaji does this act of reclaiming the jivas in two ways. We saw the two ways, how he does it. So now the Lord is going to speak to Brahmaji. Very beautiful verses the Lord speaks. Very instructive verses. So the Lord says,
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Tvaya Aham Toshitas Samyag Veda Garbas Srikshaya Chiram Bhritena Tapasa Dusto Shakkota Yoginam.
He says, O Veda Garba, O Brahmaji, Tvaya Aham Samyak Toshitah. I am completely pleased with you. Tvaya aham samyak toshita. I am completely satisfied with you. Chiram britena tapasa. Again the Lord says, for performing such a long tapasya. Actually it was not such a long tapasya. But the Lord, as soon as the way in which Brahmaji took up that instruction, the Lord could immediately understand that he is a person who was going to continue it for as long as it was needed. So many times when someone says, yes Prabhuji, I will do it, the way he says yes, one can understand whether he will do it completely or he will not do it at all, or how sincerely he would do it. One can sort of understand based on the way he says yes. If it is, if for an ordinary conditioned soul, it's easy to judge it. For the Supreme Lord, it's all the more easier. Okay? So therefore, actually the Lord did not make Brahmaji perform that tapasya for such a long time. But he could clearly understand that Brahma was willing to do it for as long as it was needed. So that is what he understood. That is what he understood. Same way, in the third canto also we see when Swayambhuva Munu and Shatarupa, they approach Brahmaji. And when they asked, how can we serve you? When Brahmaji heard those words, immediately Brahmaji could understand the sincerity of Swayambhuva Munu. Actually, Swayambhuva Munu had not done anything till then. But as soon as Brahmaji heard the sincerity with which Swayambhuva Munu was asking him how he could serve him, Brahmaji immediately understood his sincerity. So similarly here, even though in actuality Brahmaji had not performed such a long tapasya, but the Lord could understand his sincerity. So therefore he said, Chiram Bhritena Tapasa, you have performed such a long austerity. And that too for what purpose? Sisrikshaya. For the purpose of creation. Not for his own sense gratification. But for carrying out his service, he performed such a long tapasya. So therefore the Lord was very pleased. And Brahmaji, and he assures Brahmaji, don't think that to please me is easy. Don't think that just by performing some tapasya I am pleased. Dustosha kuta yoginam. I am not so pleased by these kuta yogis. As the Lord tells the same thing to Narada Muni also. Avipakva kashayanam Durdarshoham kuyoginam, he says. I am not so, a kuyogi or a pseudo yogi cannot see me. He may perform as much tapasya as he wants, but he cannot get my darshan. So here the same thing, the Lord is telling Brahmaji, don't underestimate the potency of your surrender. Or don't underestimate the quality of your surrender. Actually, I am very pleased with you, but I am not so easy to be pleased. It's not so easy to please me. So, you know, I am really very pleased with you because you have performed such a long tapasya. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, there are two kinds of penances or tapasya. The first kind of penance is for one's own sense gratification, like what Hiranyakashipu did. And the second is for pleasing the Lord. The one that is performed for pleasing the Lord is very, it actually pleases the Lord. But that tapasya which is performed for one's own sense gratification, however great it may be, does not please the Supreme Lord. Like that. Then he says, Varam varaya badram te varesham mabhi vanchitam brahman shreyah parishrama pumso maddarshana vadihi. O Brahma, badram te. So badram te, he says first, indicating that all your desires will be fulfilled, don't worry. Even before you ask, I give you the benediction that all your desires will be fulfilled. Badram te. So he says, Varaya, but still I want to hear from your mouth. Please speak. Abhivanchitam varam. Please ask for your desired benediction. From who am I? Varesham. So Varesham means I am the Lord of benedictions. I am Varadaraj. I can fulfill all your benedictions. I can fulfill all your desires. So please ask for any benediction from me. But then he says, but before you ask for the benediction, I want to tell you something. Pumso shreyah parishramah mad darshana avadihi. He says that the highest benediction that one can get is my darshan. Okay? So, do you want any other benediction? With that I have given you without your asking. I know you are performing this for getting some benediction. But before you ask me, I want to tell you that the highest benediction that anyone can get is my darshan. By the way, do you want to ask for any other benediction? Like that. Yeah. So, pure devotees, they desire service, that's what they consider. But then, the purpose of the culmination of that service is when one develops those pure emotions to serve, prema. By that prema one realizes, or when one gets darshan of the Supreme Lord, that is the next stage after prema. So here Brahmaji has attained that darshan. That darshan means, ultimately it means service only. So of course what you say is right. Darshan is not necessarily the highest achievement. Neither does Bhagavatam subscribe to such an opinion. Because many demigods got darshan of the Supreme Lord, Duryodhan himself got, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, so many other not so qualified people also got the darshan of the Supreme Lord. Sarupya ekatvam apyuta diyamanam nagrananti. They ultimately want service only. But having said that, the kind of darshan that the Lord is mentioning is that darshan which is desired by the pure devotees. That darshan means darshan for service only. It's non-different. As Sarvamama Bhattacharya, he said that, oh, what is this mukti pade? I want to change it to bhakti pade. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, that's not necessary. Here mukti means bhakti only. So depending on the context, the words take on, you know, different meanings. So here, when the Lord says the highest benediction that one can get, so when one is taking darshan, that darshanam is also a limb of bhakti only, devotional service. And when he is directly getting darshan of the Supreme Lord, at that time, you know, that darshan is the topmost benediction. That darshan, for a pure devotee, getting darshan of the Lord automatically means subsequent service only. So it's not really a contradiction in that sense. To see me by realization. Because that is the goal of sadhana bhakti. The goal of sadhana bhakti is bhava bhakti. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava sa sadhana bida. So the goal of sadhana bhakti is realizing the Supreme Lord. That is the goal at the stage of bhava. So that realization Brahmaji was getting. But of course, realization for what? To serve only, ultimately. Certain things go without mentioning. It need not be mentioned. For a person with pure emotions, naturally when he sees his object of worship, he would worship. Serve. Like that. Yes, Prabhu. Seeing, yeah. 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 Seeing means seeing in relation to one's actual relationship with the Supreme Lord in, you know, the way one serves Him also. Yeah. Right. So he says that the highest benefit that one can get is having my darshan. So by the way, if you want to ask for any other benediction, you may ask for. And actually Brahmaji asked for some other benediction. And you are also right, because he is asking for a means to perform his service. That's what Brahmaji is going to ask for now. So then he says, Manishitanu bhavoyam mama lokavalokanam yadupashrutya rahasi chakarta paramam tapaha. And then he says, that mama loka avalokanam manishita anubhavaha. Just having darshan of my abode reveals all knowledge. He is speaking this because he realizes that Brahmaji has some questions. So he says, my dear Brahma, just taking darshan of my abode gives all knowledge. You have any more questions to ask? Like that he is asking. So, you want to ask for any benediction, and do you have any unanswered questions? Like that he is asking. And then he says, why have I given you this benediction? Or why have I given you this darshan without even your having asked for it? So he says, yad upashrutya rahasi chakarta paramam tapaha. Even though you did not see the person who had spoken tapa tapa, and no one was there to cheer you, no one was there to see whether you are performing it or not, but still chakarta paramam tapaha, you performed such a intense tapasya. I mean, for the Lord to repeat it again and again and again, definitely he must have seen the intent of Brahmaji very clearly. In 3-4 verses, Lord speaks only some 5-6 verses. In that, in 3-4 verses, he keeps repeating the same point. What a tapasya you performed. What a tapasya you performed. No one was there to tell you whether it was right or wrong. Still you performed. Chakarta paramam tapaha. Like that. Okay. So then he says, Pratyadishtam maya tatra tvayi karma vimohite tapo me hridayam sakshat atma ham tapaso naga. So he says that now I will tell you a secret. Pratyadishtam maya tatra tvayi karma vimohite. When you were bewildered about how to create this universe, and at that point of time you heard tapa tapa, and you are wondering who spoke those words, actually I spoke those words. The Lord is now revealing to Brahmaji. Of course, we have heard it so many times and we know who spoke. But Brahmaji till now did not know who spoke those words. So it was really a revelation for Brahma. So the Lord said, actually I only spoke those words. And then he says, O Anagha, O sinless Brahma, tapo me hridayam sakshat atmaham tapasonaga. Tapo me hridayam, austerity for attaining me is my heart. Is my heart means it's very dear to me. Atmaham tapasonaha, I am the soul of such an austerity. Basically, he's telling that, you know, any sacrifice you do for pleasing me, I am very pleased with it. Someone was recently sharing in one Bhagavatam class that if the Lord, if someone tells that, my dear Lord, not my dear Lord, if someone tells you that Prabhuji, aapko milne ke liye main, you know, 3-4 train, 2-3 bus change karke, bhag bhag ke aaya hun, you know, if I have really, just to get 5 minutes of your time, you know, I have come all the way from a very long place, let's say Kadakpur. If someone tells you like that, you know, you feel, I mean, you know, you feel really good that someone values your, Sujit Prabhu has come all the way from Pune. So, and after giving up Radhesham Prabhu's association, so which is, you know, it's very hard to understand. So like that. So here he says that such an austerity is very pleasing to my heart. Like that he mentions. Again, the Lord is, you can feel from these words that the Lord was really touched that Brahmaji chose to perform such an austerity. So therefore, when Rupa Goswami writes about the 64 limbs, the first 20 limbs, he says, are the door to bhakti. The door to bhakti means, if you have observed the first 20 limbs, they talk about a lifestyle, both external and internal, that is very favorable for practice of bhakti. It's not exactly like direct devotional activities, but activities which are very favorable for bhakti and has to be performed. Bhakti anukula. In that he says that bhogadityaga krishnasya hetave. To develop a disposition of sacrificing something for the pleasure of Krishna. That disposition must be constantly there. That's he says. Like that. And the Lord is also appreciating this mood of Brahmaji very much. And again Prabhupada mentions, the penance by which one can see the Supreme Lord face to face has to be devotional service. Otherwise, just by mere shushka vairagya, one cannot get darshan of the Lord. Such an act is characterized by detachment from material enjoyment. Bhakti pareshanubhavo viraktir. So pareshanubhava and virakti, both has to be there. One cannot have both material desires and a desire to go back home, back to Godhead. So if that is there, then the Lord says, Ami vigya ei murka, vishayake na diva, swacharanamrita diya vishaya bulaiva. And Prabhupada quotes this verse, yasyaham anugrinami harishetad danam shanaihi. If he is little bit advanced and but still if he is attached to something, the Lord takes away that attachment. Like that. Therefore, austerity, either voluntary or forced, is necessary for realizing the Lord. If it is voluntary, it is good. Otherwise, it will be forced. Forced in the sense, it's not absolutely forced. It's just like if a person wants to get into a good college and he's preparing for his entrance exams, and if he is just fiddling with his cell phone, if our Prabhuji goes and snatches that cell phone and he says, study. Okay, he may not feel good immediately, but then eventually he understands that it's for my own good. So that is forced. It's not, Krishna is not talking about a rebellious soul, out and out rebellious soul. He's talking about a soul who is favorable. His goal is to attain Krishna, but he gets little bit distracted in between. So the Lord says, the Lord snatches it away, you know, just study now, like that. But in order to be engaged in the penance of devotional service, one has to be free of sins. We saw this yesterday. Because sins here means anarthas, which can distract one from engaging in steady devotional service. Esham tvantagatam papam, like that. So then the Lord finally speaks a very interesting verse. He says, Srijami tapasai vedam grasami tapasa punaha bibarmi tapasa vishvam viryam me duscharam tapaha. And I want to tell you, my dear Brahmaji, that I get my power to create from tapasya. Srijami tapasa eva. You know, you might be wondering, I am also a creator and I get my power to create because of tapasya. Grasami tapasa punaha. And again when I destroy, for that I get the power I get is from tapasya. Bhivarmi tapasa vishvam, and I get the power to maintain this universe only because of tapasya. Viryam me duscharam tapaha, my power arises from tapasya, the Lord says. Okay, the same question Narada Muni asked Brahmaji. I see that sometimes you are performing tapasya, because of which I am little doubtful that maybe there is someone else whom you are trying to please by your tapasya. So therefore I am doubting whether are you really the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No, the Lord says, my power comes from tapasya. What does it mean? What does it mean? Is he just trying to, is he just speaking this to make Brahmaji feel good? Or is there any truth to what the Lord is speaking? What does it mean when the Lord says that my prowess to create, maintain and destroy comes from tapasya? What does it mean? Yes, Prabhu. So he has taken a vow to bring back the rebellious souls, so he is bound to do that. That may be tapasya. Because of the love. Okay. Yeah, that could be one reason. The Lord feels encouraged to empower someone when there is tapasya. But we are trying to discuss what is the tapasya that the Lord performs. Yes, Prabhu. The Lord doesn't want this material creation, still He creates. Okay, that's quite close. Yes, Rajagopinath Prabhu. Internal potency of the Lord. Okay. Yeah, correct. So Lord's tapasya is also internal potency only performed. Yeah. It's simply an act of the internal potency of the Lord. No doubt. We do not doubt that whatever the Lord performs is through His internal potency only. But the point is, what is that tapasya? Oh, to act according to His internal potency is the penance. Oh, the penance is the internal potency of the Lord. Okay. Here, actually of course everyone can share. But the point is, here it is mentioned that the penance that the Lord is speaking about here is detachment. Let's say if someone is given a project, okay, you know, do this project. And if that person knows, but only for 6 months, after 6 months, you have to dismantle that project. You can take 2 months to develop it nicely. 2 months you can maintain it, and after that in 2 months you have to dismantle the whole thing. You know, how much effort we would actually put in actually creating it. You know that anyway in 2 months I have to dismantle this whole thing. And after creation, how much effort, sincere effort we would put in maintaining it also. This is about such a small project, but the Lord creates complete universe. Not one, but millions of universes, knowing very well that it has to be completely dismantled in a very short time, according to His time scale. But still, He perfectly creates it, perfectly maintains it, and when the right time comes, He winds it up. So, that detachment is mentioned here by the Lord as tapasya. That's what Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentions. So, therefore he is encouraging also Brahmaji that even as another creator, I get my prowess from tapasya only. So I am really very pleased when as my subordinate creator, you have also performed this tapasya. So I am very pleased with you, my dear Brahmaji. Like that. Srila Prabhupada writes here in this purport, an easygoing life and attainment of perfection in devotional service cannot go together. Like yesterday we saw, swacheshtitam. This swachesta has to continue if we want to get real taste. So only when cheshta is there, only then, the going will get little more easier. But if we think that I will move when the going gets easier, it will never happen. So first one has to put sincere endeavor, even though one may not like to do many things. Then over a period of time, one will start liking those very same things. Like that. So that's what Prabhupada is also mentioning here. An easygoing life and attainment of perfection in devotional service cannot go together. The Lord wants to see how much we are willing to sacrifice in devotional service. Like that. So, the Lord has asked, okay, what benediction do you want? In response, Brahmaji says, Brahma uvacha Bhagavan sarva bhutanam adhyaksho vastito guham vedahya pratiruddena pragyanena chikirshitam. He says, O Bhagavan, O Lord, sarva bhutanam adhyakshah, you are the controller of all living entities. Guham avastitah, you are situated within their hearts. So therefore, vedahi chikirshitam. So therefore, you must be knowing the desires of all living entities. Apratiruddena pragyanena. Pragya here means intelligence or memory. Apratiruddena means unimpaired. Sometimes we have intelligence which functions, and sometimes we are really very tired or not so well rested, that same intelligence does not function. Or someone, if you just wake them up from sleep, suddenly they cannot, you know, their intelligence or memory does not function. But the Lord is not like that. Apratiruddena pragya. The Lord has unimpaired intelligence, which is functional fully at all times. Okay? And being the super soul in everyone's heart, he has the capacity to understand the desires of all living entities. So Brahmaji is asking, you are the super soul in everyone's heart. You know everyone's desire. Why you are asking me what is your desire? Don't you know? Don't you know what I desire? Yes. So, you mentioned, like I mentioned, words do not always convey the emotions. The way you ask is indicative of the emotion, not just the words. When Brahmaji says, you are the super soul in everyone's heart, so you know what everyone desires, it's actually a glorification. But when we say sometimes, the same thing can be said as, kya aapko pata nahi hai kya? Aapko to pata hai, kyun baar baar pooch rahe? Which means that's a breach of etiquette. Okay? So, it's definitely the fact that the Lord was pleased indicates that it was not a breach of etiquette. So, that question in itself is not a breach of etiquette, but the same question can be asked in a way that breaches the etiquette also. But definitely, the way Brahmaji asked this question to the Supreme Lord is not a breach of etiquette. So, okay, let's continue.
Tatapi nata manasya nata nataya natitam paravareya tarupe jani yam tetva rupinah.
O Nata, my dear master, tatapi. What is the meaning of tatapi? Still, tatapi literally means, but still, in spite of. Even though you know the desires of all living entities, and you know my desires also. Nata natamanasya nata nataya natitam. Very poetic way he is mentioning. But still you please bestow what is requested by me. Basically he is telling, even though you know what is there in everyone's heart, but because you have asked me to speak, I will speak. what benediction I want. Okay, so how much time do we have? 10 more minutes. So at least we will see Brahmaji's questions. What questions Brahmaji, and then we will see the answers in the afternoon session. The answers is the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. So we have to understand the questions clearly so that we will know why the Lord is speaking those four verses. So first he says, Paravare yatarupe janiyam stetu arupinah. My dear Lord, I have a desire to know about your pararupa and your avararupa. Pararupa means your spiritual forms. What is the nature of your spiritual form? And avararupa. Avararupa means material form. But then he clarifies, janiyam tetu arupinah. Even though I know that you are arupinaha, which means you have no material form, but still it is heard that you have a material form also. Can you please speak about that material form also? This is the first question asked by Brahmaji. And the response to this first question, or the answer to this first question, will be the first Chatushloki. Okay? Then, in 27 and 28, the next two verses, he is going to ask two more questions. And the answers to these questions would be the second and third Chatushloki. Okay? So let's try to understand these questions. He says, Yatatma maya yogena nana shaktyupa brahmhitam vilumpan visrajan grinan bibrad atmana matmana kridasya moga sankalpa urna nabir yatornute tata tad vishayam dehi manisham mayi madhava. So he says, O amoga sankalpa. Amoga sankalpa means, here Brahmaji is addressing Lord Vishnu. He says, O amoga sankalpa, O Lord whose desire is never obstructed. O Madhava, vilumpan, visrajan, bibrad, atmanam. Atmanam means oneself. Vilumpan means to destroy. Visrajan means to create. Bibrad means to maintain. So Brahmaji says, my dear Lord, you create, maintain and destroy yourself. But here yourself means this material universe, which is also considered as the material form of the Lord. So Atmanam Vilumpan Visurjan Griha Bibrad means, my dear Lord, you create, maintain and destroy this universe. And what is this universe? Nana Shakti Upabrahmhitam. This universe is made of many, many energies. What are the various energies that the universe is made of? So here Vishnu Chakradhakur mentions that this universe is made of Dravya Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti. So he says that you create, maintain and destroy this universe, which is made of many energies like Dravya Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti. How do you do it? Atma Maya Yogena. Yogena means by the power of. Atma Maya means your Maya. Your Maya here refers to external potency. He creates, maintains and destroys his material universe through his Mahamaya potency. So basically Brahmaji is asking, how do you create, maintain and destroy this material universe through your Mahamaya potency? And Atmana Grinan. Atmana Grinan means, Grinan means to manifest. And sometimes you manifest your spiritual form. How? In the form of various avatars. After the universe is created, The Lord appears in the form of Matsya, Kurma, Varaha and various different incarnations. Kridasi, how do you perform pastimes? Yata urnanabir urnute. Just as a spider, whenever he wants, he creates his web. He uses his own raw material. And whenever he does not want, he winds up his pastimes or he winds up the web. So just like an independent spider, you also create, maintain and destroy this universe whenever you want. And whenever you want, you manifest some of your incarnations. And whenever the time is over, as if completely detached, you wind up those pastimes also. How do you do it? Okay. So this is, so behind this translation is two questions which Brahmaji wants to ask. The first question is, what is the role of Mahamaya? This question is answered in the second Chatushloki. And the second question is, how does the Lord interact with this Mahamaya potency? Or how does that Lord interact with the creation of Mahamaya, which is this material world? That is the third question. This will be answered in the third Chatushloki. Okay. First question was, please speak about the spiritual and material forms. That will be answered in the first Chatushloki. Second question is, what is the role of Mahamaya? That will be answered in the second Chatushloki. Third question is, how the Lord interacts or relates with the Mahamaya or the creation of Mahamaya, which is this material world. In this, both are implied in this, based on this translation, the Acharyas explain that this is what Brahmaji wants to know. It's implied, it's not directly mentioned, it's implied. Kridasi means how he performs his pastimes. And then, this is one translation, there is another translation. Here it means Atma Maya Yogena. My dear Lord, how you, in the first case, Atma Maya Yogena referred to the external energy, Mahamaya. Here it means Atma Maya Yogena. Atma Maya Yogena literally means by the power of your energy, your Maya. Your Maya in the second case refers to Yoga Maya. And how by your spiritual energy, Atmanam Vilumpan Visrjan Bibrad. How through your internal energy or Yoga Maya, sometimes you manifest yourself and you maintain that form for some time and sometimes you unmanifest as if you are totally detached from it. In the spiritual world also, the Lord, let's say for example in the Ras Leela pastimes, the Lord manifested the form and he maintained it for some time and suddenly the Lord vanished also after some time. Okay, so sometimes the Lord manifests himself, maintains that form and vanishes. And all of this is orchestrated by the Yoga Maya potency. So this is the second thing that he is asking. How do you, how through your Yoga Maya, sometimes you hide your form, manifest that form and sometimes maintains that form. Kridasi, how do you perform the spiritual pastimes? Yata urnanabir urnute, just like a spider. And here, Nana Shakti Upabramhitam refers to, in the first case, it was Dravya Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti. In this case, it refers to Samvit, Sandini and Hladini. So the spiritual world is made of Nana Shakti Upabramhitam. Mayi Manisham Dehi. ప్లీజ్ గివ్ మీ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ దిస్ సబ్జెక్ట్ మ్యాటర్ తద్విషయాం తత ఇన్ దీస్ సబ్జెక్ట్ మ్యాటర్స్. సో బేసికలీ ఇన్ ది సెకండ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ వాట్ ఈస్ ఆస్కింగ్ ఇస్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద రోల్ ఆఫ్ యోగమాయ, దట్ విల్ ఆల్సో బి ఆన్సర్డ్ ఇన్ ది సెకండ్ చతుశ్లోకి. సో జస్ట్ లైక్ టూ డిఫరెంట్ మీనింగ్స్ ఆర్ టేకన్ టు ద సేమ్ వర్స్ ఇండికేటింగ్ టూ డిఫరెంట్ క్వశ్చన్స్, ఇన్ ది ఆన్సర్ ఆల్సో వన్ వర్స్ టూ డిఫరెంట్ మీనింగ్స్ ఆర్ దేర్. So that will be answered in the second chatushloki. And another thing that he wants to know is, how do you interact with yogamaya or the creation of yogamaya, which is the spiritual world? Okay, this will be answered in the third chatushloki. Is it clear? Yeah, there is no creation in yogamaya. That's why let's do a small exercise, 1 minute exercise. Okay, I will tell the Sanskrit words and you tell me, one of you tell me the meaning with respect to the material world, Mahamaya, and one of you can give the translation for its spiritual equivalent, which is Yogamaya. Okay. First, Atma Maya Yogena refers to by the power of Mahamaya. That is the first understanding. Second, by the power of your Yogamaya. Atmanam, material universe. In the second meaning, Krishna's spiritual form. Okay? Or any other incarnation, spiritual form in Vaikuntha, as Varaha Dev or Narsingha Dev. Spiritual form. Vilumpan. In the first case, it refers to annihilation of material universe. In the second case, it refers to Krishna hiding his form. Visarjan, creation of material universe in the first case. In the second case, it refers to Krishna manifesting his form. Bibrad refers to Krishna, Lord maintaining the material universe. In the second case, it refers to his manifest or his maintaining his form and performing some pastimes. Nana Shakti Upabrahmhitam in the first case refers to Dravya Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti, and in the second case it refers to Samvit, Sandini and Hladini potencies. So basically that's what he wants to ask. What is the role of this Yogamaya and Mahamaya? I want to know. How does it function? That is the, in the second chatushloki it will be answered. And how the Lord interacts with the Yogamaya and Mahamaya? That will be answered in the third chatushloki. Okay. So, one last thing. This is the fourth question asked by Brahmaji, and we will see the answers in the next. He says, Bhagavat Shikshitamaham Karavani Hyatandritaha Nehamana Prajasargam Badyeyam Yadanugrahad. He says, my dear Lord, Atandritaha. Tandra means sleep or lethargy. Atandritaha means with attentiveness, very attentively, without the influence of mode of ignorance. Okay? Atandritaha, without lethargy, aham karavami bhagavat sikshitam. So, he is telling that, may I carry out your instructions without being overcome by the mode of ignorance in the form of lethargy. And or by the mode of passion which manifests in the form of attachment to fruits. Because he is going to carry out creation, he will be creating so many things. So one might start thinking that whatever I create belongs to me. So basically Brahmaji is asking in this fourth question that, my dear Lord, tell me, what do I have to do to protect myself from the influence of mode of passion and mode of ignorance. Because, you know, one is prone to get affected by these two, either mode of passion or ignorance. When someone creates something, he thinks that I have to enjoy it. That is passion. When one says that, no, it's not for your enjoyment, then suddenly what is the response? I will not do it. So, inaction is mode of ignorance. That's why Krishna says, karmanyevadhikaraste ma faleshu kadachana ma karma phala hetur bur mate sangostu akarmani. He says that do your duty, but don't try to enjoy the fruit. Having said that, I said give up your fruit, but don't give up the responsibility. Don't be attached to not doing your prescribed duty also, because that is the natural inclination of living entity. So, apravritti. Pravritti is mode of passion. And apravritti is not the opposite of mode of passion. The opposite of mode of passion is enlightened activity. It's not inaction. But people generally think, "Are, if I don't have to enjoy the fruits, then I might as well give up the activity only." So he says that in the case of Prithu Maharaj, when Prithu Maharaj performed his 99th Ashwamedha Yajna successfully, there were so many obstacles for performing the 100th Ashwamedha Yajna. And then finally Brahma says, you know what, you should give up performing this 100th Ashwamedha Yajna. And Prithu Maharaj says, okay. And then Brahmaji says, after a few verses, Brahmaji says, but I don't want you to give up your protecting the citizens. Don't give up that duty. Because naturally, Prithu Maharaj may say that, if I don't have to enjoy the bliss of performing 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas, then I might as well depute my other duties also to someone else. Let someone else do it. Why should I do? So he says, no. You know, you should take care of your citizens also, which is your duty. So basically, Brahmaji is asking in this fourth question to the Lord that, my dear Lord, can you please tell me how I can protect myself from being influenced by this mode of passion and mode of ignorance while I am creating? So finally, he repeats the same question again. He says, Yavat sakasakyurivesate kritaha prajavisarge vibajami bojanam aviklavaste parikarmanistito mame samunnadda madojamaninaha. My dear Lord, you have, by shaking hands with me, yavat saka sakyurivesate kritaha, you have treated me just like a friend. So therefore, I can take liberty in asking such benedictions from you. So again he repeats that same request. He says, Yavat parikarmani stito, as long as my tenure as Brahmaji lasts, may I create vibhajami aviklavaha, may I create the living entities without any lethargy, means without the influence of mode of ignorance, and mame samunnadda mandaha ajamaninaha, and also may I not be influenced by mode of passion, thinking that I am the independent creator. So therefore, please protect me from the influence of mode of passion and ignorance while I am involved in this, in creating the bodies for various living entities. So these are the four questions asked by Brahmaji. So today afternoon we will see how the Supreme Lord answers these four questions by quoting the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki. श्रीमद्भागवतम की।